Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
Well, this group of men meeting down in Atlanta have some very weighty issues to deal with. U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops meets as we speak in Atlanta, and they're dealing with several things, old and new. The old is the 10-year anniversary of the breaking of the clergy abuse scandal that is still ongoing. They're hearing reports about how well they are doing as bishops in dealing with that ongoing scandal. The other thing, the new thing, is, of course, the HHS mandate and the issues related to religious freedom that have been raised, not only for Roman Catholics in the U.S., but for all people of religious conscience in the U.S. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Thursday afternoon, the 14th of June. Tim Townsend joins us from Atlanta with a live report on the biannual meeting of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. And then a little bit later, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be our guest. We'll talk with him about the Lord's Prayer and the abundant life. It not only teaches us to pray for that life, but it tells us what that life is and looks like. You can join us 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Talkback at issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address, or you can send us a tweet at issuesetc. Tim Townsend is a regular guest. He's religion reporter for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. He's in Atlanta on the site of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops meeting. Tim, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd, thanks for having me.
How have the bishops in concert here been marking the 10th anniversary, what's considered the 10th anniversary of the clergy abuse scandal in U.S. Catholicism?
Yeah, so the bishops yesterday heard from their, they heard a 10-year progress report from their National Review Board, and this was a board of lay people who, lay Catholics it was formed in the, in a meeting that happened in 2002 in Dallas, right after the abuse crisis sort of exploded, starting in Boston and then rippled out through the rest of the country. They created this board of lay people to help them through it, to help them make the changes that needed to happen in the church so this wouldn't happen in the future, and to rectify the problems from the past. So this board came up with a report. They come up with frequent reports to the bishops. This was their 10-year progress report, and it just sort of gave them the lay of the land in terms of how this review board thinks that they're doing 10 years later.
So essentially, what were the facts that the bishops got to see in this report? How would you characterize it?
I think the report itself was pretty positive. It was it said that the bishops overall have done a really good job trying to get a handle on this, making sure that kids are protected in the future. It did point out a few areas of concern. There was some concern that religious orders, men who are part of religious orders, say the Jesuits or the Franciscans or the Dominicans, who don't report directly to the bishop but report directly to Rome, that they're having a tough time communicating. So the bishops every year have to do an audit that they send to the National Review Board to tell the board how they're doing, and that is supposed to include any orders that are within the geographical boundaries of their dioceses. And apparently that hasn't been going very well. Often the orders are somewhat reticent to report the inside nature of what's happening within the orders to the bishops for these audits. So that was one area of concern. There was another area of concern that there was an increase in what the National Review Board members found to be boundary violations, which they defined as sort of alarming grooming behavior, like patterns that pedophiles sometimes use with children, tickling in a certain way, sitting on laps, that kind of thing, and that there had been an increase in allegations of those over the last year or two, and that was something of concern that they wanted the bishops to explore a solution to.
So do you get the sense that the bishops, kind of at long last here with 10 years behind them, so to speak, are, I don't know, for the lack of a better term, kind of got a handle on the issue?
Well, I think they do have certain things in place that help. A lot of the critics of the bishops say that within the boundaries of the charter that they set up in Dallas, there are loopholes that have come in, so that, yes, they are bound to follow certain rules that they've set on themselves, and yet sometimes that has not been followed. There are two very large cases right now, trials that are either ongoing or about to start, of very high-ranking church members who either concealed abuse, as in Philadelphia, or failed to report abuse in Kansas City. So there are still bishops, I think, that the concern is that are not following their own rules. Overall, however, I think the board found that they had done a good job, and that they were at least, while they should never let their guard down, they were on the right track.
What is this issue that I think many outside pale of Roman Catholicism may not fully understand? I'm interested in how the bishops are articulating the issue of priests that have been found guilty. They're removed from public ministry, but they're not defrocked. How do the bishops deal with that particular, for what's a lot of people, an ambiguity?
Yeah, it's a very, very sensitive issue, because priests, and this was pointed out by one of the bishops yesterday, priests are not just, it's a calling, it's a vocation, and this is not just a job, so you can't just fire them. And so priests who have been found to have committed some sort of violation, credibly, both by internal investigators or by law enforcement, it's really up to that local bishop as to whether they ask Rome to laicize that particular priest. And if that does not happen, that's a thing that's taken very, very seriously, that you know, once a priest, always a priest is kind of the lingo. And if that, a lot of bishops have a very hard time reconciling this vow that they made too when they were priests, to have the Vatican take that away. It was brought up yesterday that John Paul, when he was Pope, there was an effort. He actually said, we want to cut down on having this be an option for priests. It's a lifelong commitment. You don't just say, yeah, I'll do it, and then when you don't feel like it anymore, say, I want out. So in order to protect that vow, sometimes bishops have, in a sense, shielded some of these men who have committed these crimes and yet are still priests because of that vow. That vow is so important. And the rest of society thinks, why are you're paying for that person's insurance, you're paying for that person to live and eat and survive, and yet they have committed this horrible, horrible crime against a child. So it's a difficult issue. On the other hand, and sometimes people say, well, the alternative is to not have that priest be looked after and have somebody responsible for him. And if he is indeed a predator, at least the church is responsible for him in some way.
Let's talk about the other major issue that the bishops were dealing with down in Atlanta, and that has to do with the HHS mandate. What came out of the conference with regard to that subject?
Yeah, I mean, this was actually probably the other big important issue yesterday in yesterday's meetings, and it continued into today. The bishops are unified in their demand that the Obama administration cease and desist on this order that the Health and Human Services Department has made in January, and then sort of made a slight correction to in February, that religious institutions that are not churches specifically, that have a different mission, universities, hospitals, have to provide contraception to their employees for free. And this, the bishops say, is a violation of their religious consciences. And this is a full front campaign they've sort of been going on it now. This is a discussion about how they're going to approach it in the future. They're about to start something called the Fortnight for Freedom next week. It starts on the vigil of the feast day of St. Thomas More, lasts for 2 weeks until the 4th of July. And St. Thomas More, of course, was martyred for his refusal to pay homage or pledge his allegiance to Henry VIII instead of the new Church of England. And so what they are talking about here are the details of how this, not just this fortnight of freedom that they're going to have in the next couple of weeks, but ongoing through the summer up until the election, how they are going to proceed with educating Catholics about what their religious rights are, holding rallies and prayer vigils and all of that kind of thing to make this a public issue so that Catholics and non-Catholics are aware of what they say is an issue of religious freedom, not what the Obama administration says, that this is an issue of women's health.
When we come back, we'll talk more with Tim Townsend, live from Atlanta, on the site of the conference, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops meeting there, a little bit more on the HHS mandate after this.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
You believe that there's not one error in the Bible. That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line. Available 24/7. 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Thursday afternoon, June the 14th. Tim Townsend, religion reporter for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, is our guest. He joins us live from Atlanta on the site of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops meeting. One more question on the HHS mandate. Are the bishops, do they appear aware of the non-Catholic allies that they have against this HHS mandate?
Yeah, and I think they were very much bolstered in Jefferson City in March. There was a big rally that was not just Catholics. It was, I believe it was the Southern Baptists. It was the Assemblies of God. And I think that there was a representative from the Missouri Synod there. But these were Christians across the board who had gathered together with the bishops in support, and I think in the same spirit of that this is a violation of conscience. So yeah, I think they're very aware that this is something that can be educational for non-Catholics alike, in the same way it can be for Catholics, and even from people who don't necessarily have very much a religious component to their lives. I think they feel like this is, when you talk about something like the First Amendment, to most Americans, that gets them in their heart, whether they're religious or not, that this is a freedom of speech issue, a freedom of religion issue, and that the government shouldn't be intruding on these things. I think that they think that that has a wider appeal than just through the Catholic Church.
One quick question with about 20 seconds here, Tim. Was there talk among the bishops, even informally, of the implications, if the legal redress does not help, of actually withdrawing these institutions from their roles in the public square, agencies having to do with adoption and all the other things that are affected by the HHS mandate? Are they talking about shutting it down?
They have. They did sort of... They went into that a little bit yesterday. One of the senior leaders of the church, Cardinal Francis George from Chicago, brought that up, and it was acknowledged that that is something they have to think about very, very seriously, whether to secularize their institutions and make their Catholic hospitals, Catholic universities, into secular Catholic hospitals and universities as a protest. As you said, they've done that in some situations with their foster homework. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's something that's on the horizon. They're thinking about that in case in August, if the Obama administration doesn't change things, and depending, I guess, on what the Supreme Court says about the health care issue, I think they are thinking about it.
Tim Townsend is religion reporter for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. He joins us live from Atlanta, the site of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops meeting. You can read his story in today's St. Louis Post-Dispatch at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tim, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd.